Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. We are officially in fall now, and we're experiencing some really nice temperatures and nice days. Hopefully you've been able to get out and enjoy some, and God is good to us. I was sort of in prayer and preparation for preaching today, and I want to make a statement at the beginning of my lesson to our visitors, and I say something to the effect that you honor us by being here today, and we know that you have other choices and places to worship God, and you chose us, and so I say you honor us. But then I was thinking about that statement that I often make, and I want to add something to that statement, is that you honor and encourage us. So your presence today is an encouragement to us. And so it's meaningful, it's important. And if you're looking for a church home or you have questions, we would love to spend some time with you. Jeff or myself, Eric, any of the elders would love to sit down and talk to you. You just have questions. But we're just simply a group of people trying to do our best to serve God and encourage one another and to be there for each other. We are not perfect. I will tell you that. The person standing in his shoes will tell you he's very, very far from it. We're just trying to do our best. And we rely heavily upon God's Spirit and grace and His mercy to help us get through some challenges in life. And we get through it because we're stronger together. And so this morning's lesson deals with the promises of God. And so we're going to be looking at this. We've been studying one chapter of books. We've been spending overviews of each book of the Bible, beginning with the Old Testament, in one evening. So, and even though sometimes it's been a challenge time-wise, we've been spending about 40 minutes as an overview of each of the books of the Old Testament. We managed to do Isaiah this past Wednesday night in one meeting, which is a big task. It's a long book. There's many chapters in Isaiah. There are books in the Bible. But we're able to do it. But Sister Renee shared with us, when I began the class, just tell me something from Isaiah that's always been very meaningful. And she graciously shared with us that this passage that we're reading from this morning was one of her go-to verses in times of her life. And I think for many of us it is. But I'm going to begin in verse 29, read down to 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's just a beautiful passage. It's written by Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of God. He was a very influential prophet of God. He lived during four dynasties, if you will. Four kingdoms, if you will, the descendants of Abraham and the southern tribe. The days of Hezekiah was there, but Ahaz as well. And so he lived through it. And he was a prophet of God. Now, this is the analogy I shared in Bible study class this morning. I hope it holds up for you. In this world, God created things to be a certain way. Everything was put in order by God. And I was thinking about thunder. And thunder tells us something. And thunder tells us that something's fixing to happen, right? A storm's coming. And so I liken the voice of the prophet to thunder. It was God always telling his people, something's fixing to happen. Something's fixing to happen. Something's fixing to happen. And those who are wise listen to the thunder, right? Went back to my childhood. My mom hung clothes out on the line. If it was thundering, we didn't hang clothes out, right? Or if it thundered, you went and got them, brought them in. If you're gardening and you did certain things, the thunder was coming. You either hurried up or waited, right? So the prophets gave thunder to the people who would hear it and designate it to them, the future. And sometimes the current things that were going on. So I want to be fair with the text this morning, because different translations, many of the translations, more contemporary translations, have replaced the word wait. Those who wait on the Lord have replaced the word with trust. So I think there's a relationship between trusting and waiting and trusting. Obviously, the biblical scholars have found that. So in some of the translations, the word, instead of those who wait on the Lord, is those who trust in the Lord. So there's a relationship between waiting and trusting and waiting. And so I just want to put that out there. Canadian school teacher back in the 1950s, he heard that there was a lot of promises in the Word of God, but he thought that it may have been an overestimation. So he spent a year and a half of his life reading through the Bible 27 times in a year and a half, and denoting each of the promises of God that he read from his Bible. He read through the Bible 27 times in a year and a half, and he came up that there are 8,810 promises that God promises were made in God's Word. 7,487 of those promises are specifically to mankind. And you think, well, give me an example. Remember after the earth was destroyed by flood, by the water, God put a rainbow in the sign as a covenant that says, I will never destroy the world by water again. Okay? And so that's an example of a promise. But also, in the book of Genesis, when God promised that through Eve's seed, you know, that Satan would be destroyed. Then God promised Abraham that through his seed all the nations of earth would be blessed. Then God promised David that on his lineage, his throne would never end. And of course we recognize all that came down to Jesus. I think this was so important at the time, 1956, a little bit before I was born. But Time magazine carried this article about this man's research. Isn't that a time? That's a whole different world, right? That a contemporary secular magazine would spend time talking about a Canadian school teacher who spent, you know, a year and a half of his life to see how many times God's promises were made. I would love to have that kind of experience again today. So there are a lot. And so for interest of time, don't get worried. I'm not going to try to cover 8,800 something promises today. So don't get too worried. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you want to soar? Of course, on campus, that's a big thing. We're Golden Eagles is our mascot, there's a difference between people try to explain to that. There's different between nicknames and mascots and stuff like that. But you know, but anyways, Golden Eagles are our mascot, and we have all kinds of language around soaring and that. But I use the word SOAR as an acronym to give you four things to consider this morning about this promise that's made in this passage in Isaiah chapter 40. And so this morning I want you to consider that the passage promises strength. This passage, one of the promises it promises you is strength. In fact, isn't that what we just read a minute ago? But those who wait or trust on the Lord shall renew their strength. The process of waiting and trusting in itself renews your strength. There's a relationship there between waiting and trusting in the Lord and renewing your strength. Now, I know some of you like to go to the gym. I respect that. Bless your heart. You know, you like to exercise. You like to run. You know, but I like this idea of getting more strength. Waiting, right? Trusting. You know, it's an aerobic way of getting strength. But spiritually speaking, sometimes waiting on God and trusting in God teaches us a whole lot of things. You can choose to worry about things in life. That's your choice. I'm a big choice person. That's your choice. You can choose to worry or you can choose to pray. Worry will not change your disposition, but prayer might. And the 12 steps, we talked about through daily prayer and meditation, they learn a new way of being. There's a relationship between reaching up and trusting and waiting on God. Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we need that centering effect. We need that moment of life in which we just sort of be present with God, mindful of how he's working in this life, and to be still and know I'm God. Sometimes we discover God when we cannot or do not have the capacity to move forward. God just sort of puts us in a place of being still and waiting. There's a man named George Valiant. I think Dr. Valiant's still living. He's getting on up in years, but he was responsible for a study on aging using men. They looked at men. The question was, does development stop at a certain point in life? And so Harvard University did a very long aging study, particularly looking at men. And the conclusion of the study is that we continue to change throughout life. We don't hit a point. We don't change anymore. But he tells the story of one of the men that they researched in the study. This man had been very neurotic. He was always sick. You know, he was very, you know, hypochondriac. He always, and then he chose the worst profession in the world to enter, medicine. I mean, this made it worse. You know, he was a person who really struggled a whole lot. But when he was a young man, he developed tuberculosis. And he had to spend a year in a hospital. And he said for the first time in his life, he had a reason just to be still and not be doing and trying to achieve. And that 1 year of convalescence transformed his life. And he lived a different way. And what he came in contact with is God. When he had the time to slowing down and worrying about himself, he really began thinking about God. And then the man after that transformed himself, and then he was the most giving person. And then he talked about how this man just continued to grow and develop. He got very involved in the community of faith, and he was like the go-to person. He was like every church fellowship, he was instigator of it. You know, and he was playing racquetball, you know, with people half his age and still winning, you know, well into his 80s and 90s. But he said the thing was that he was forced to stand still and contemplate something other than himself. It was transformational. And sometimes when we're at our lowest point is when we find God. And so, strength. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." John says, listen, the world's a big, scary place. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm going to tell you this, that who is in you is greater than who is in the world. And whether he's specifically talking about Christ or the Spirit or Christ and the Spirit, it matters not, because Jesus defeated the enemy of death and the Spirit lives within us so that we can overcome. So we're promised strength in Scripture. Somebody been trying to figure out what's the O going to stand for? So the O is obstacles. This passage implies power to overcome obstacles. You know, obstacles block us from our goals in life. They're things that get in the way. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now, we're a lot more aware of eagles. I grew up my entire childhood and never saw an eagle. I don't know that. They just didn't. I didn't see them, didn't notice them. Maybe they weren't here. I don't know. My entire childhood didn't see an eagle. It's not until I got grown in the past few years, I've actually seen eagles in the wild. I mean, flying and stuff. I mean, some of you spend hours on end looking at the eagle cam, right? You know, looking at the eagle cam on Delhalla Lake. I like this time of the year, particularly. I have to do some Head Start work, and I drive down through Jackson County and up around through Whitleyville in that area and go along the river there. And very often, this time, especially the time of year, you see eagles flying. I mean, you see those big eagles flying. They're just soaring, and they're majestic. They're just powerful. But they should mount up with wings like eagles. I know that's our national symbol, the bald eagle, and you know, tech, we have the golden eagle and stuff like that. But it's interesting. What's Isaiah telling us about eagles that we might not know? And so I began looking a little bit about eagles. I know a little bit, but not much, you know. But this is what I discovered. Did you know that when an eagle knows a storm is approaching before it breaks, the eagle can read the signs and aware of how nature works, and it knows when the storm is approaching before it breaks. And the eagle will fly actually to a higher spot in the sky to wait for the winds to come. You've seen them up there. they're on those drafts and then, you know, those thermal drafts, and they're just soaring. And the storm's coming in. They don't head to the tree. They go higher. And they wait for the winds to come, and the winds come and pick it up and lift it above the storm. They actually use the storm to get to a higher elevation. They take the thing that's coming, and they use it. The eagle really doesn't escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher. It rises on the winds that bring the storm. It's fascinating to me. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. I don't know how many times Isaiah may have looked at the sky and studied and realized, hey, there's thunder. It's summer coming. That eagle needs to, you know, light somewhere. And why is it out there? And why is it going high? Oh! The storm gives it strength. It lifts it higher. So obstacles are like storms. When we are forewarned, we know to be ready. Currently, people in Florida, thoughtful about Bob Mayor Lewis, are in Florida on vacation right now, but there's a storm heading to Florida. And I think it's Ivan, is that it? Or Ian? Ian. We've had Ivan early, but Ian. And so people down there are watching, listening, preparing. And so when you know there's something in life headed that way, you do that. You prepare. And so as prophecies like thunder, the prophecies of scriptures are telling us there is a thing coming. The Holy Spirit was brought into this world to three primary objectives, according to Jesus and John, to teach the world of righteousness, of judgment, and preparation. And so we recognize that that is what we've been known to be ready for, but obstacles get in the way. And Jesus clearly says in John chapter 16, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. This world is hard. Everyone will have their times of gladness and their times of sorrow. That's this world. But Jesus says, I've overcome it. That's why John so readily says that he who's in you is greater than he is in the world, because Jesus has overcome it. And so be of good cheer. We read this morning in Acts chapter 22 that Jesus came to Paul when he was in Jerusalem, when literally the commander of the Roman army thought that they were going to pull him apart in pieces. That's how the commander recognized the anger and the disdain of the people. And Luke tells us that Jesus came to him the next night, and Jesus said to him, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Jesus says, you're not going to die in Jerusalem. I've got other plans for you. You're going to Rome. And so, obstacles in this life come. It's a reality. Most of us here have had our seasons where things were good and seasons where things are bad. That God is with us. And God sustained us. So, after the obstacles is the assurance. The passage offers assurance. So, to put it in some context, Isaiah is trying to tell the people that even when things seem hopeless, because it's going to seem hopeless to them, there's going to be exile, there's going to be separation, there's going to be destruction, it's going to be bad. And exile says, you know, post-exile, he's saying there's hope. There is hope. So the passage says, it implies hope. And so clearly, the Hebrew writer, whoever it was connected to the promises of the Old Testament. And this is one of those over 8,000 promises that are in the Bible. But he says, you know, be content in this world and understand this, that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. That's assurance. In fact, in John chapter 14, we're promised a spirit. And so Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." Folks, verse 17 is a commentary on why people just don't get it. They just don't get it. We went out with my mom last night. We went out to eat with her, and she's just amazing. And she said, "I just don't get it, you know, why people just can't read their Bible and figure some of these things out." She said, "It's just like that, don't read their Bible, you know." And I'm thinking, well, to myself, I'm not going to argue with my mom. I've learned not to do that. So, but to myself, I'm thinking it's because they can't. They can't neither see it, nor hear it, or receive it. Paul described it in the book of Corinthians as having a veil over their heart. The word cannot have effect on them. And so I know we pray for the lost, but I think we need specifically pray sometimes that the Holy Spirit get on them and help remove that veil from their heart so that they can see and hear and believe and obey. Because it can't get in. Jesus, the world cannot get it because they don't get it. It's not on the frequency. It don't speak the holy language. It doesn't have the capacity for it. That's what's so scary in this world today. Is that there's so many families that have given in to spiritual neglect as the way of moving through the world. You know, if you don't feed your kid, they're going to take them from you. If you don't get them treatment, they'll take them from you. If you mistreat your kid, neglect your kid, they'll take them from you. If you don't educate your kid, they're going to take your kid. So you've got to make, the government says this, so you must take care of them physically. You must take care of them emotionally. You must take care of them mentally. What about spiritually? Who does that fall to? If we don't give people spiritual tools today, I'm talking about young people growing up, if we don't give them the spiritual tools today, they won't have what they need to face the obstacles of tomorrow. And we look at big things like addictions and mental illness. The path through those things is always a spiritual path. And if we don't give people a holy language today, a way of relating to God today, we're ill-equipping them. We're not inoculating them against the reality of a sick world that may infect them. Sunday school, Bible school, home devotions, prayer, children's Bibles, all that is part of the inoculation process. And we as a body of believers need to invest in that, and we as a families need to invest in that, and we as parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles need to invest in that. The last word in this acronym is this passage promises renewal. Renewal. In verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. So have you ever been so tired you just had to sit down and rest? I know a lot of you are hard workers, so that's the case. Just rest a spell. And then in that resting and waiting, you're renewed. If that works for our physical body, what about our spiritual body? What about our spiritual self? Isaiah says that God gives power to the weak. In those who are not, he increases strength. So this is one of those 8,000-something promises. You know, as that person went through, this is one of the ones they marked. That this is what God does. He provides renewal. And so, if you've ever felt beat down by life and circumstances, this promise is for you. Now, the extension of renewal is this thing called hope, right? And biblical hope does not disappoint, Scripture tells us. Because we put our faith and trust in the right person. I know there's storms in life for some of you right now. And not because I know anything specific, just because I know with a group of people this size, we can't be that charmed. We're blessed people, but blessed peoples have struggles. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that there is strength promised to you. And in the face of obstacles, there is assurance, there is renewal. I mean, and so this is the pattern we see, and so we begin to understand that God equips the call through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of that dynamic force that brings renewal. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who from the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory, that to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man." That still happens, folks. That's still going on. Still going on. That through the power of his might, you are strengthened in your inner man. That renewal force is personified in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. And as I just read that this morning, I see something else that speaks to me this morning through this word, that it is with all the saints. You cannot do this journey alone. It's collectively. I learn from you, you learn from me, I learn from you, you learn from me, I learn from you, you learn from me. What this walk is about. So we understand that Jesus is all about making things new. In the book, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." Renewal. Renewal. We've had a bench outside our back porch that saw it on local sales network. I want a bench, a wooden bench, and so went and met the guy in Cookeville, had it there in Cookeville, picked it up, and I thought, this bench looks familiar. And I said, I said, "Where'd you get the bench at?" And he says, "I used to be the manager at Red Lobster." And he says, "Well, we remodeled, we got the bench." So if you ever were at Red Lobster, you may have sat on this bench before if you're waiting. It's like that. So we had it, and you know, I kept on there. Okay, I need to refinish it. I need to stain it. And Tammy will attest to you, it was looking pretty sad. But yesterday afternoon, I got some stain out of hand, and I restained that bench. And the greatest compliment my wife said was, "It looks brand new." I took that old gray weathered wood and renewed it. Applied something to it. And we all can appreciate when things have been renewed, right? But Jesus just doesn't say, "I make some things new." He says, "I make all things new." So this morning, strength over obstacles, assurance, and renewal. So you know the promises of God are sure. Why is it important to study folks like Isaiah? Because Paul says that those things written before are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So an objective I have this morning is to give you hope. That God's word is filled with promises, and we've not even scratched the surface. But also this morning, I want you to recognize that God's promises are sure, and Christ is the proof of his promises. Everything points to Jesus. Isaiah points to Jesus over and over and over again. He's the messianic prophet. He tells us about Jesus' birth. He tells us about his suffering. He is the one who disclosed so much about Jesus. Over 60 times Isaiah is referenced in the New Testament. Over 60 times. times. And so, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's part of that hope, right? That's part of that renewal, part of that strength, part of the overcoming obstacles, part of that assurance, I can do all things. If nothing else, that is the essence of soar, right? Strength, overcoming obstacles, assurance, and renewal. The Spirit is the guarantee of His promises. The Spirit was not an afterthought. The Spirit was not a consolation prize. Oh, you lost Jesus? Well, here's the Spirit. Jesus told His followers, it's good for me to depart so the Spirit may come. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, 1:20-22, for all the promises God or Him are yes, that is in Jesus are yes, and in Him, amen. So let it be. To the glory of God through us. Now He who established us with you in Christ has anointed us as God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Strength over obstacles, assurance, and renewal. Right now, people in Florida are watching and preparing for a tropical storm, maybe hurricane. What is your storm? We know what theirs is. What's yours? What do you need to do to prepare? Tammy and I have been watching a TV series, and in the last episode of the series, an older, she's from the Crow Reservation. She's a character. She's both a healer and a judge in that reservation. She makes people well, but she also enacts vengeance on evil. But she warned the main character, who she identifies as having an eagle spirit. She says, be careful. As an eagle, not to put your talons into a fish that's too big for you. And she explained to him that eagles would fly over bodies of water and they would size up a fish and they would swoop down to take their prey. And sometimes an eagle would underestimate the size of the fish and would swoop down and put its talons in the fish, and the fish was too big and too strong and the eagle couldn't lift it. So what the eagle would, fish would actually do would go into deeper water. The eagle, being stubborn and not be willing to release the fish, would drown. He should have said many years, many eagles drown because they choose too big a fish. There are things in life that we cannot do on our own. We were never meant to go alone. That's not scripture. We talked about this morning in Bible study class how Christ came to comfort Paul. But when Paul was in the garden, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came and comforted him. We were never meant to go it alone. Jesus didn't even send anybody out by themselves. He equips the call. And what do you need to prepare, and is it your time to soar? So He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, He increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall not walk and not faint. You can reach out to others around you, to us. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you to let this storm rise you, not defeat you. If you're here this morning and you've never professed Jesus as your Savior, He's there waiting for you. This power we talk about, the Holy Spirit, is promised to you that an indwelling of Christ will come into your heart and your life and help guide and direct you in your walk with God. But Eric's chosen a song, and we've got space and time for you to respond. So if you're subject this morning or need assistance anyway, in which case we stand and sing the song Eric's chosen.